the most important thing for me is the partnership itself, to keep mm-hmm. that relationship for a long term. And, you know, if we focus mm-hmm. in the important thing, the money will come after. Yeah.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here today with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Andrea. I am so excited about today's guest. I can't wait.
Yes, me too. So on today's show, we're going to talk about structuring a profitable deal. And our guest today is a dear friend of Brenda and I, and she is a real estate investor and a women's financial coach, Olga Zuluaga. Welcome to the show, Olga.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes. So in her businesses, Financially Savvy Women and Roar, Olga helps women entrepreneurs and real estate investors structure profitable deals. And Olga is the queen of running the numbers and creating profitable partnerships. So we're going to have a great show today.
So Olga, tell us, how did you start as an entrepreneur?
Well, I have always had desire to have my own business. I went to engineering school, and then I had a master's in business administration degree, and I work in corporate America for almost 20 years. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted to have my own business. And it was only until 2020, when COVID hit, that I was laid off and I had to start, thinking about what to do next and how to reinvent my life, that I started thinking about opening my own business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it's so interesting. There's so many people that go to school for years and years and years and do cool things in their career. Mm-hmm. But I think the new American dream is entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
That even if you've got an advanced degree, in order to do something that you love, I talk to doctors and, like you're talking about, engineers. And like, I talk to so many very successful, very well-educated people who, what they really want is to have their own business and be their own boss. And you did it. You did it.
Absolutely. Yes. And so what is more interesting is that every step is important to what you are currently doing, right? Mm-hmm. So everything that I have learned as an engineer and in business, those are things that I still use. You know, those are part of my knowledge. Those are part of my experience. And to be here in this moment and to have been able to accomplish the things that I have been able to accomplish, I wouldn't have done it without going through those phases first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right?
That's,
yes. That's awesome. Yeah, that's super important, I think, to recognize is like, no matter whether it's hard things you've been through or, you know, career paths that you've pursued, all of those things have led you to where you are today. And I think that's really important because I look to you for advice in a different way than I do other people in my life. And I want you all to know, like, so Brenda and I know Olga really well. We meet together about every week. We are talking about business and talking about life. So Olga's been in my mastermind group, and we show up for each other. But Olga, you are the one that I call if I am trying to figure out a funky financing deal, how to structure something. Like, you have the most brilliant brain for numbers and systems and structuring a deal. And when I feel like I'm like overwhelmed or over my head in some way, I'm like, help me think about my options, because your brain just works in this really unique, brilliant way. And it's that like engineer brain that you've got that allows you to also, you like use that to structure, like you engineer deals, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Super, super cool.
I always tell her.
Oh, go ahead, Brenda.
I always call, think of Olga as the numbers lady. Let me call the numbers lady.
Yes. That is, I think a lot of people in our circles and in our life, like think of you that way. And we just, we appreciate that strength so much in you. So Olga, like talk to us about your portfolio. What kind of investing do you do?
Yes. So I started as a private money lender and I still do private money lending. You know, I like to partner with other ladies. Sometimes I fund their deals, or sometimes when I find deals, I look for other private money lenders to fund my deals. I have short-term rentals here in California. I have long-term rentals here in California too. I have flips currently in Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., and upstate New York. And I have three pad splits in Florida.
Wow.
So I love investing out of state. In order to do that, I need to partner. That's the way that I have found out that I can scale my business.
I love it. I think there's several things that you just mentioned that I think also make your experience really unique and powerful. And a lot of what you've described is, you're doing things that other people think cannot be done. Yeah. Like I've talked to so many women from California that are like, well, it's impossible to get a deal in California, or like you're in California and you've got pad splits in Florida. And like, oh, I could never do that because like people make all these excuses, but you've found a way to make a lot of what feels like an impossible thing happen because you partner. And so I really want to talk about that more today, because I think a lot of people shy away from getting multiple people involved in a deal. And so they end up doing no deal. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what would you say are some of the reasons that it would make sense to partner on a real estate deal like you have?
Well, you know, it's the power of two people bringing their strengths and their resources together in order to make a deal possible, right? So, for example, I'm here in California. I like to invest in Florida. Then I find a ladies that can be boots in the ground in Florida, that it's there, right? That's
right.
That's a resource, that's a skill. And so if we partner up, right, so we make things happen that otherwise it wouldn't be possible, right? The same way when we find a private money lender to fund our deal, that's partnering with somebody that can bring a resource to us so we can make our project, either a flip or a rental, possible.
So how do you know when someone is the right partner for you, especially when you're investing out of state? What types of things do you look for in a partner?
So I look, you know, I partner a lot with people that I just started, right? So for me, it's important to know a little bit about their character, especially, right? Because if they have a desire to be a real estate investor and they have a desire to be successful in this business, and they want to partner with me, and you know, I can provide the guidance and I can provide the feedback based on my experience. I can also bring a lender, you know, that can fund the deal. But basically, you know, this type of deals is a lot about the relationship, right? So as in any type of negotiation, the relationship is very important, you know, to have some goals in common, you know, some type of, you know, values in common. And I'm a person of faith. So I usually partner with people that, you know, also think that faith is their main strength. So, you know, when I have just an honest conversation with a person and I share my goals and my dreams and the way that I work, And I ask very simple questions and about their experience, about their goals and their dreams. And if I feel that it's a good fit, then I say, you know, let's analyze this deal. Let's see if this property is a good property for investment. Let's research about the market and see what are the possibilities, what are the investment opportunities and strategies that we have in that market. So it is a combination of, you know, the person and the property and the market at the end. But definitely, I feel that the relationship that can be established during the partnership, it's very important. All my partners are very dear friends now, you know, so keeping a relationship, thinking that it's a long-term relationship, it's extremely important to me.
So out of curiosity, have you had any partnerships that did not work?
Not yet. I've been fortunate. We've had a lot of challenges.
Okay.
You know, as you know, flipping a property or, you know, borrow a property is not easy. We've had a lot of challenges to overcome. But at the end, we have been able together to figure out how to overcome those challenges and to pivot, right?
Yeah.
In a way that our project at the end is successful. So far, all the private money lending deals that I've had and all the partnerships that I've had have been successful.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I think that's a testament also to your leadership in the process, because, you know, all of us have heard about partnerships that didn't go well, and that's what causes a lot of people to shy away from doing it. But I think knowing that you can show up as the leader that you need to be, that's part of trusting yourself to handle whatever comes next, and a commitment to aligned values and a commitment to communication at a high level. And I think it's so interesting, Olga, that you said that I look for those things first before we're talking about the profitable deal.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, like, that kind of surprised me. I was like, well, first we look, is the deal going to be profitable? And then we look for, I thought you were going to say the flip of that, but the way you describe it, it's far more important that you're focused on an alignment of values and that this is someone that I like and trust. And then let's look at a deal. Is that right?
I think in hearing you say that also, what sticks out to me is that the screening process is important. You have to take your time to screen or interact or interview or make sure, like you said, you align with that person. And I think a lot of times people, they skip that step or they save it so far down the line that they're already committed before they realize, like, oh, wait, we might not be a good fit here on in whatever area. So I think that's important for people to understand and see your success in doing it that way, how effective that could be.
Yes, absolutely. And also, you know, for me, obviously the profit is extremely important.
Yeah.
But now I realize money is just a tool, right?
Yeah.
That help us accomplish our dreams. So I never focus my partnerships on the money or on the profitability.
Mm.
I focus my partnerships in the experience that we're going to get in the relationship. Obviously, we both want to make, you know, a profit. We want to make some money. That's the reason why we're partnering.
Yeah.
But the most important thing for me is the partnership itself, to keep that relationship for a long term. And, you know, if we focus in the important thing, the money will come after, right?
Yes.
The money will come. But, you know, and there are some partnerships that we didn't make a lot of money, or we didn't make as much money as we estimated at first. Mm-hmm. We made some money and I'm happy with that. You know, I'm content with what we get, because the most important part is the experience, and keep, you know, and keep moving and keep finding deals and keep moving deals, because that is kind of the most important part for us as investors.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm.
So from your perspective, it's more important to have deal flow or things flowing than it is for every single project to be, you know, ridiculously profitable at the expense of a good relationship. What I think is really cool about what you're sharing too is that I think so many people have that sort of closed energy when it comes to mm-hmm. money. What you're describing is open hands energy, mm-hmm. where it's like, if everything works out the way that we hope and plan that it will, and we're going to work really hard to make that happen, then it's going to come. But if it doesn't work out how we expected it to, we're going to keep open hands, and yeah. we're going to keep it flowing. We're going to keep communicating. We're going to keep treating each other well and keep a good relationship, because whatever happens, we're going to make it up on the next one, or it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. And
yeah. And I want people to also really hear from you and understand, like, you are the queen of structuring a profitable yes. deal, because we're talking about a lot of warm, fuzzy stuff here.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if I want to make sure something's going to be profitable, like, you're the one I call, like, help me to like think through my options, or like, is this actually a really good deal? It's kind of complicated. And so let's talk about how to make sure that you're structuring a profitable deal. What are some of the things that first of all, let's talk about, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see investors make when it comes to structuring a profitable deal?
Yes, I think the biggest mistake is to fall in love with the property instead yes. of falling in love with the deal, yeah. right? Because, you know, you can find a house and the house is in the perfect location and it's a beautiful house, and we envision this rehab and the house is going to be amazing, right? But when you do the numbers, unfortunately, it doesn't pencil out, right? Yeah. And we still insist in that house is amazing and I need to get it no matter what it takes. I've been there, you know, yeah. or I have, you know, get into a deal where I want to do a lot more with the rehab, right? Because we want our properties to be the best that we can, right? But if we over remodel, right, the numbers are not going to work out at yeah. the end. So I definitely think that making savvy decisions is making decisions that are not emotional, but yeah. are decisions that are educated decision based on the financial analysis that we make about the deal.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
I think houses are emotional. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, what else do we talk about besides a person? Like, I fell in love with this person. We will yeah. walk through the front door of a house and we'll say, oh, I fell in love with this house. Like, yeah. There's nothing else that we talk about the way that we talk about real estate right. or property.
Yeah. I love going to open houses, for example. I just love going to an open house and see what they did and how they remodel it, you know, the things that they put and, you know, how they stage it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Rehabbing houses, it's a passion of mine too. Yeah. And it's super fun. So I've been there. I've been in, you know, trying to figure out a way to get a property, but sometimes it just doesn't work. So you have to say, okay, I'll move to the next one.
It taps into your creativity, not yes. only on the financing side and getting, you know, the numbers and pulling the deal together, but even the creative side as far as how you design the house and, you know, and what you bring forward. So going out, and I like to go look at model homes and all that stuff too, because you, yes. you get great ideas from that, and you wrap yes. that up with your ideas, like, oh yeah, it's gonna be magical. You know, so that's great. I love it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we know we make mistakes because we fall in love with things and we want to overdo things, yeah. or we get this idea and we get too creative or too fun with the finishes sometimes. But so let's talk about what are some of the keys to structuring a profitable deal? Mm-hmm.
So following the rules will be number one, right? Follow the 70 cents rule for a flip or a bore. I'm not saying that we have to always get a 70 cents deal, but as close as possible. Mm-hmm. Why? Because then that will avoid some mistakes towards mm-hmm. the end. And as I said, you know, before, we may estimate a really good profit, but things happen along the way, right? It takes longer, or the rehab costs more. There are some, you know, surprises that we find along the way. So if we get a deal that is closer to 70 cents as possible, then we're going to have more margin, you know, mm-hmm. more money to cover all those expected surprises that we find. And at the end, we're going to get a profit, right? Yeah. Maybe it's a little smaller, but we're going to get a profit. So following the 70 cents rule for flips or borrows, and following the 80% rule for rentals, or the 1% income rule for rental properties as well. Mm-hmm. So following the rules first, do the calculation, make sure that we understand all the expenses that are involved when we buy a property, right? When we buy a property, first thing that I do is make sure that I'm going to be able to pay the lender, right?
Yeah.
We have to make sure that we can pay an interest monthly payment or a mortgage if we get a DSCR loan or any other type of loan. Yeah. There are other expenses besides financial expenses. There are closing costs. There are holding costs, mm-hmm. taxes, insurance. Insurance expense is very important to take into account, because insurance price has increased tremendously. Yeah.
And depending on where you are, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, mm-hmm. You know, think about if you're doing a flip, there is also staging that we need mm-hmm. to do. There are many expenses. And it's just to be prepared. It can be done, but if we, ahead of time, we know about those expenses, we can budget, you know, the resources that we get to rehab that property. And so, you know, we can cover all the expenses, pay our lenders, and then finally get a profit. So, yeah. You know, to summarize, I would say, you know, follow the rules. Second, know your expenses and keep track of your budget. And that's the way to maximize profit.
That's good. That's real. That's really good.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest mistakes that I made as an early investor was positivity thinking in a toxic way. Like, everything's going to happen in the best case scenario. Things are going to cost less than, we're going to find a deal. We're going to get a contractor that's super affordable. They're going to be awesome. It's always going to work out.
Yeah.
And so I think I would tend to underestimate what it would actually cost to do repairs. And this is something that you learn with experience, mm-hmm. is what it actually costs. And also to plan for a buffer of time, because contractors do not always do what they say they will do. Yes.
I probably had some of the same similar mistakes that, or bumps in the road, I'll call it, call it that, and underestimating my carrying cost because of the time factor for me.
Yes.
Would fall into that area of something I did and wouldn't do again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Time is money, right?
Yes.
So if we know about the contingencies that we may have, you know, it's normal to be 1 to even 3 months extension for what we plan. I think that's normal. You know, if you plan a rehab of 3 months, be ready that it may take up to 6 months. If you're planning a rehab for 6 months, you know, it could take up to 9 months, right? So, but if we know what the additional time will take as far as financial resources, if we know that information ahead of time, and we say, you know, how about if it takes 9 months instead of 6, how much is that going to cost me, right? Yeah. And we can calculate that easily, and we say, okay, I still can make it. Or you can say, oh no, if we go, you know, 6 months and then we have to extend to 9 months, it's not going to be profitable any longer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are things that are important. Time is extremely important for a project, definitely.
Yeah. And being ready to pivot, because if you're already in the deal and you're realizing it's going to go from 6 to 9, and that means you might have to change your exit strategy. But
being open
and prepared for that is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I could have never fathomed was that one of the flips would not sell for what we needed to get out of it, to make it make sense to sell. And that, you know, so Brenda was talking about that pivot and to be in a situation where you've got a mortgage, regardless of whether that house sold or not.
Yeah.
And to say, am I in a position, if the worst case scenario happens and I have to hold on to this, am I in a position to have the reserves or to create, you know, to come up with the money in order to continue to hold on to it? And I think that getting into a project when you're too tight is also one of those mistakes that I see people making. So when it comes to like a plan for reserves, if somebody's budgeting to hold on to a property or something like, or to renovate a property, do you recommend that they have reserves or that they have a contingency fund in their budget? Like, because we all know that these things rarely work out the way that exactly how we hope that they would. So what do you recommend people plan for instead of that being a surprise every time?
Yes. So that's something super important, right? Things happen, right? So I usually include a 10 or 15% of my rehab budget, right? To cover surprises, something that we didn't know, something in the plumbing system that we didn't know we had before, that the inspector didn't see it, or when they started demolishing, you know, a shower, they found this big, huge surprise underneath, and now we need to cover it, right? So 10, 15% rehab. And I also plan for other type of contingencies, right? Contingency is something unexpected that happened. Let's say the price of the insurance just doubled because we had a huge storm or a hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, there are many other contingencies, or we take longer, as I said before. So I estimate two types of contingency, one related to the rehab and one related just to the fact that we're doing the project. It took longer. You know, the holding cost may be higher. And so we need to be prepared to, solve all the challenges that we have to deal with. And as Brenda said, to pivot, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I put a flip in the market and the market shifts or things change, and then I have to think, okay, what are my options, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm in the middle of a project and I'm definitely in, I find a block, right? I'm stuck with something. I definitely start thinking, okay, what are my options? And I usually find at least 2 or 3 options. Mm-hmm. If I don't find them, then I call somebody in my group, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer is within us, right? That's what I tell a lot of people that call me and say, you know, how can I refinance this? Or, you know, when we talk it out with somebody else, we find the solution mainly ourselves. The answer is within us, right?
Yeah.
So I always have at least 2 options. I call my lenders, I call my brokers, I call my inner circle, and then I figure out 2 options and I say, okay, this is the way that I'm going to pivot, I'm going to do it. An example of that is my pad split in St. Pete, Florida.
Yeah.
I listed it in the minute that I listed that property in the market for sale, the market shift. Okay. It was a huge house, a huge rehab, a huge investment. I didn't know what to do with that property. And then I started learning about pad split. And I thought, this is a big house. I can convert it into a 10-bedroom house. It was previously a 4-2. I converted it into a 10-bedroom, 3-bathroom property. And that was the solution. I refinanced it, converted it into a pad split. And it's a profitable property that will definitely, in a few years, will appreciate, right, over time. I have other benefits about holding that property over time. But the best part is that now it's a very profitable rental income producing property.
I love that. I love that. You know, even the part what you're saying where you actually had a place to go to maybe brainstorm with other people, come up with other ideas, which then in turn stimulated another idea for you. And now you have something that wasn't moving at all. And now it's profitable. So being able to be brave, first of all, to be able to pivot and also, you know, look at a concept. Even though it may be new to you, you weren't afraid to try it. You did your research, you dug in, and now here you are in a profitable situation. And I think that's amazing. And that's the kind of thing that I think other investors need to know how to do, because sometimes people are afraid to admit that, well, my first idea didn't work, or it's not, now it's not the best idea. Now let me see what else I can do. Sometimes they get frozen. And they kind of stand still. It's like, well, what do I do? But no, you opened yourself up to considering other ideas. You reached out to the resources that's around you. And now here you are talking about a win. You turned something that could have been a loss into a win. And that's what it's about.
Yes, definitely. And I love learning new things and new strategies. Now I'm getting into mobile homes too, here in California. So I'm super excited about that. And I always wonder if there was money to be made in mobile homes. I see all this park in these, you know, very fancy places here in California. I'm like, oh my gosh, those houses, you know, sell for so high. I wonder if, you know, there's money to be made. And I started asking questions to the ladies in the different networks, you know, how they do it. And then I just look at a mobile home park nearby where I live, and I found a property. I'm in the process of negotiating it, and you know, we'll see. I'll keep you posted.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. So Olga, what are some of the ways that you specifically help women who are trying to figure out how to structure a profitable deal? Because you're a coach as well as an investor. Mm-hmm. So how do you help women in what you do as a coach?
Yes. So my coaching journey started with my specialty, which is numbers and analyzing deals, right? And then in the process of helping people learning how to analyze deals and how to make it profitable and how to maximize that profit, I realize it's not only about the numbers, right?
Yeah.
It's about a lot more. It's about the property itself. You know, we need to find real comparables for that property, real comps, right? So first about the property, second about the market. You know, learning about the market is extremely important for us. And that is something that I learned by doing it, right? And now it's something that I incorporated in my coaching program. So in my coaching program, my goal is to help women become, you know, financially independent by analyzing deals. And the part of analyzing deals encompasses everything, right? It's not only the financial analysis, but it's the analysis about the market, what are the risks, the time, the tax implications about an investment, you know, what is appreciation, what is depreciation, what is a return on investment, what is cash on cash, you know, we'll look at all those returns. But my main goal is to help other ladies to find deals, right? So I always made a promise to them, and I said, you know, my main coaching class, it's 5 to 6 weeks, but you are welcome to stay in my next following classes until you find a deal, right?
Oh, awesome. That's good.
I have a lot of students that come back, and I love to see my students that come back to my classes, and they bring deals, and we analyze the deals in class, and we look at the property, and we, you know, run all the numbers, and we see if that is a profitable deal. And then I help that student to find a lender, right? The second step after we figure out that's financially a good property, then we find a lender, either it's a hard money lender of a private money lender. And then I help through the process of closing escrow, which, you know, it can be extremely stressful, right?
Yeah.
So I help them go through it. It's a lot of motivation. It's a lot of, you know, managing stress, managing difficult situations, right? And then once we close escrow and they start rehab, I help them with the rehab process, you know, how to talk to the contractor, how to manage challenges, and then put the property in the market or convert it into a rental property. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all-encompassing coaching. You know, I also offer one-to-one coaching where we walk through the whole process. And I have partnered too with ladies that tell me, I want to learn from you, you know, let's partner, you know, you can, we can figure out something with the profit of the property, but I just bring my experience and I bring my team, you know, which are my lenders, my real estate agents, all the people that I have in my team, I bring them together, and then the student will learn, you know, from experience, and from that point on, they can start doing deals by themselves.
That's awesome. This is awesome. Cause it sounds like it's really a done with you. Like you're just like in the trench with them doing,
yes,
like making sure that they've got some kind of hand holding mm-hmm. through that. Yeah. That's, yes. That's really exciting. I think that gives people a lot of confidence. So I yes. love that you do that for women. Well, tell us, Olga, if someone wants to learn more about how to work with you, they're like, I want Olga to hold my hand. What should they do to connect with you or to reach out to you?
Yes, thank you. They can connect with me through my Facebook group. It's called Financially Savvy Women. And it's a free Facebook group. And they can also find me, you know, in Facebook or send me a message. I will be sharing also my email if somebody wants to send me an email. I don't know if I can. Do you want?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put that in the show notes. We'll put a link to your Facebook group and a link to or your email if you want to share that with people.
Yes. That's
so generous of you for doing
absolutely.
That. So,
and my favorite thing is connecting with other ladies. So if you're watching and have a question about deal analysis of about a property, please feel free to reach out.
Yeah. And I want to brag on Olga for just a second because Olga, you came through my coach's program a little over a year ago and you came out guns blazing. Like you were the fastest person to create and launch because you had been working on this toolkit. Will you tell people about your like deal maker toolkit that you created? It's phenomenal.
Yes. Yes. So I, you know, when I took my training for real estate investments, we didn't have any spreadsheet or we didn't have any type of calculations or we didn't have, you know, coaches that will teach us about running the numbers, right? So I started doing my own calculations, and I remember meeting with ladies sometimes over coffee and, you know, writing on a napkin, you know, what the closing cost and, you know, the holding cost, everything that they need to take into account. And then soon enough, more ladies were calling me and asking me, Olga, is this a good deal? And, you know, I just started putting together Excel spreadsheet just to make it faster and easier to help everyone that was reaching out to me. And then the little spreadsheet became two spreadsheets, because I thought, okay, I need to calculate the profit for a flip. Now I need to calculate the profit for a rental analysis, or I need to compare two options. Either I finance this with a hard money lender or a private money lender. So how do you get to, you know, make your decision? And, you know, should I flip this property or hold it as a rental property? That's another big decision that we all face. So I put together another spreadsheet. So the little spreadsheet became all this, you know, group of spreadsheets that I call the toolkit. I also read books, and then I am very creative, you know, even though I am just a numbers person, but I am extremely creative. So I'm always thinking about a formula, right? If you talk to me about, I started learning about subject to financing, right? So I started watching videos and learning in webinars, and I decided to buy a book. And I just bought the book, and just one formula. It had the 70 cents rule, and that was all. I was like, I'm disappointed. This didn't have any formula to calculate a subject to offer. But then I thought, oh, but I can figure it out, right? So I just follow the strategy in the book. I created a toolkit, right, that is part of my big toolkit to calculate the offer of a subject to and a wrap as well, right? So all that is included in my toolkit, nice. Right? And so, in the process, Andrea called me and she said, Olga, I think you have enough material to make this into a coaching class. I was like, really? You really think so? She said, yes, I think, you know, you've been helping all these ladies, and in order for you to help more people, you know, you can put a coaching class together and I can teach you how to become a coach, right? And it was one of the most amazing, followed by your master mind class, obviously. It was the most amazing coaching. We had a great group of women in that coaching class. And then from the beginning, I had the idea, right? And when I have an idea, it's like, I cannot sleep until I figure out the whole, the whole content, right?
Nice, yeah.
So I knew the content from the very beginning. I just needed to know the process. Yeah. And you took us through the process step by step, and I was able to put together my coaching. And you taught us about how to do all the marketing and all that good stuff. So it's been, I love really my coaching program. I have a friend that tells me that I miss my call. She said that I should be a teacher because I just love sharing information. I love sharing knowledge as well, yeah. Because I love to learn, right?
Yeah.
I love learning. And so that's what I want to pass on to other people. I want to share that with other people. So throughout the coaching program, I get to help other women. I get to share experience. And, it's such a positive and rewarding experience. And I appreciate you so much for, calling me and telling me that you can give me the opportunity to become a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's brilliant. I think when you are bringing together your unique experiences, mm-hmm. and expertise and original things that you've created, because you looked out in the world and you said, I'm not finding what I need in order to do this thing, so I'm going to create it. Right. And then to be able to take that creative energy and serve others with it and say, and now I'm going to make it really easy for you to do this thing that all of us were struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And that we were like trying to figure it out, trying to, like, all of us had our own kind of spreadsheets going and they were a mess and like not doing the level of thought process that yours can assist someone with when they're structuring a deal or trying to figure out how, like, what makes sense in terms of profit and how to structure a partnership based on real numbers. and all of those things. And I just love that you have thought it through so comprehensively in terms of like, and here's how it, we would do a structure, a sub two, and here's how we would structure this. What if you're working with a hard money lender versus a private money lender? What do the numbers look like? Because you were naturally doing that in a way that I didn't see anybody else doing. Yeah. And that's why like you're the go-to for numbers, because we're like, nobody runs numbers like Olga runs numbers, because she's going to do it in like three different ways. And she does it so fast. And we're like, what if I did it this way? What if I did it this way? Oh, what am I not thinking of here? And you're like, okay, we got to make sure these numbers are included. And so having a tool or a whole toolkit like that, that has already thought, where you've already thought about all those things. And so then someone can take that and run with it and plug in their own numbers. Super, super powerful.
Yeah. And you feel confident about it.
Yeah. And you're so kind and patient for those of us that struggle with the maths.
Those of us
who struggle with the maths.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's brilliant. And so your friend said you missed your calling as a teacher. You have not missed your calling. You have shown up at just the right time.
That's right.
I know. It's all the process, right? Yeah. As we talk about in the beginning, it's all a process. You have a calling, and then you have to go through all these steps in order to get there, right? Yeah. But we're always working on a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Even when sometimes we feel that we haven't found our real purpose, right? We're working until we get there, right? Yeah. And we have a purpose depending on the role that we are playing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we have a purpose as a mother, right? As mothers, to help our kids. Or we have a purpose as an employee, right? To do a good job, or we have a purpose as a coach to help others find a deal or close a deal or negotiate a deal, mm-hmm. right? And as human beings, obviously, we have a bigger purpose, which is to elevate and help other people accomplish their dreams, right? When they accomplish their dreams, it's we're accomplishing our own dreams, right? When they are successful, we are successful.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I talk a lot about numbers and profitability, but, you know, over time now I realize it's not about the money, right? Yeah. It's not only about the money. It's more about accomplishing a dream and, you know, stepping out of our comfort zone. Right. And stay teachable. Right.
Yeah.
Stay trainable. Stay humble. Right. Mm-hmm. And keep learning and keep connecting and just keep, you know, moving and just keep trying different strategies. And, as I said, learning more and more and trying different things until you decide, okay, I'm just going to focus on this. And that's it for me. Right. Or I will keep, you know, finding a mix of different strategies, right? I need flips because those bring me some cash that I need to fund my rental properties, right? Yeah. And, you can also try different rental properties, short-term rentals, long-term rentals. Mid-term rentals are amazing, and as well as pad splits. So it's all about, you know, being active and being positive about learning and, you know, networking and connecting with others. That's what most important. And then I assure you, the money will follow, right? Yeah. Yeah. Follow your passion and the money will follow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Olga, can I just acknowledge you also in the number of women that you have inspired? Mm-hmm. Who see themselves in you, and so share with everybody where you're from originally, because everybody's wondering where's your beautiful accent from.
Sorry, I'm a very emotional person, and so those words made me a little emotional. But I am from Colombia in South America, and I grew up with there. My parents always supported us with our education. They wanted to give us the best education possible. And so that's how I went to engineering school, because my parents encouraged me, you know, to be the best that I could. And, you know, in Colombia, it's a third world country. It's a developing country. So in those countries, you can only be a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer. You know, you need to have that education in order to really be able to, you know, have the minimum, which is, you know, find a house and a job, right? Mm-hmm. But I had bigger dreams, and my husband and I always wanted to have the American dream, right? So we moved here to the United States, and we went to school here for a business education, and we found internships, right, after we graduated from our business school. And then the people that hire us for the internships offer us jobs after. Awesome. And then they sponsor our visas. And that's how we got to get a green card and then get a citizenship. And, you know, it's been an amazing experience. We love our home country, but we love being here as well. My kids were born here. And it's been extremely challenging, as you can imagine. Moving to a foreign country is definitely not easy. Just the language, as you can tell, I'm still learning, right? Just the language barrier is it's challenging. But what, you know, going back to your question, what you said, that I inspired a lot of people, that it's to me is just you know, it's just amazing just to hear. And a lot of people come to me in the events and all that, and I say, you know, my mother is from this place and this place, or I grew up in this country, and they just feel represented, you know.
That's great.
And the first time that I heard that, I think it was somebody from Cambodia. I was like, you know, she felt represented by me just because I'm an immigrant, you know, that made it to a stage, right? That they were acknowledging my success as a real estate investor. So it was like, you know, now my own success became a responsibility for me, right? Mm-hmm. Became the responsibility of representing other people, but mm-hmm. also helping those people to become successful. So mm-hmm. every time somebody calls me and say, you know, I found a deal, but I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I cannot find a lender. And I say, okay, let's run the numbers. Let's analyze the deal, and let's help you. So I have helped many women that call me and say, I'm going to lose my deposit. And I said, okay, let's run the numbers. If it's a good deal, I'll fund your deal, mm-hmm. right? So I do that too. I fund their deals, or I bring a lender that can fund their deal, or I bring a private money lender that can fund their deal, right? And so again, you know, I'm helping. I was there too. So I feel that I'm helping people through a process that I know it was my process when I first started.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing from your heart with us, and also sharing really good information that anybody trying to make it happen in the real estate industry needs to know, the things that you're talking about and that you share. Olga, we always love to challenge our listeners each week with something that they can do to take bold action. So Olga, what is something that you would challenge our listeners to do this week to take action?
Yes. So my recommendation is always practice, practice, and practice, right? It is not hard to start taking action. Just look, you know, start practicing. You know, the action for this week is take action. Go to one of your favorite online properties websites like Zillow or Redfin and look for a property in your market, right? Mm-hmm. We all know how much the properties in our market sell for, right? So start looking. If your market is a $500,000 market, start looking for properties that are under that price, mm-hmm. right? And see, and just for the sake of the practice, do the numbers for that property, yeah. right?
Yep.
What would it make it a 70 cents deal, right? If yep. it's a $500,000 property, then a 70 cents deal will be $350,000 minus rehab. Right? Mm-hmm. So start looking for properties between 300,000 and 350, right?
Yeah.
And then run the numbers. Just by running the numbers, your brain starts changing, right? Your yeah. brain starts saying, oh, I need to look for properties that are around $300,000, right? And then you start learning about the market, right? Because mm-hmm. you say, okay, the properties in my market sell for this dollar amount. If I find properties under that dollar amount, I may find a property that is a 70 cents deal, right? So you are learning about a property, you are learning about a market, you are learning about analyzing a deal, right? So a very specific action, you know, in order to learn how to analyze deal, it just takes practice, right? Another thing is, you know, we receive emails from a lot of wholesalers, right? Mm-hmm. I used to analyze all those deals, you know, at the beginning. So I take a wholesaler that I find in Facebook or a property that is listed in one of the networks and I run the numbers, mm-hmm. right? So just run numbers and insist and persist, run all the numbers until you find a deal. For sure, if you do it every single day, practicing every single day, running the numbers, you'll find the deal that you're looking for.
As they say, practice makes perfect, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love that. That's really good.
Yeah,
and you know, that's exactly what I did when I decided to become a real estate investor and I heard about it. And I remember, and it was before I ever got into a coaching program to learn this stuff, I was like, searching YouTube videos on how to run the numbers. I was like, okay, bigger pockets, tell me what to do. And I practiced and I practiced and like pretty soon I got a deal. And it was like every day, like just being in that mindset of like, let me find something to run numbers on. You're absolutely right. Like that was a part of my story too. It's like I practiced. Yeah. And then when I found one, I could spot it quickly. I could run the numbers quickly. And it made me feel way more confident about what I was doing.
Yes.
That's great.
And motivation is extremely important too. So I remember before I found my first deal, I used to write in my agenda, in my book, I used to write, I'm going to find a property this year, right?
Yes.
Every single day when I look at my book, I will write that sentence, right? And I start telling everybody, I want to find a deal this year. I want to find a deal this year. To everyone until I receive a call from somebody that say, I have a deal for you.
Yes.
That's awesome. Your first deal.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. We claim it. I love
it. Yeah, we claim it. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Olga. This has been a great conversation today. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with both of you that are, you know, somebody that I admire and I appreciate so much.
Awesome. We love you.
You're amazing. We love you all, guys.
You're amazing.
All right, sisters, if you want to gain more clarity in your life and in your business, join me for a free workshop for women entrepreneurs on how to build your clarity, confidence, and connections so you can increase your income, live out your best life, and inspire others to do the same. You can register for one of my workshops at andreaengstrom.com. If something on the show today resonated with you, would you let us know, give us a review on the podcast. If this meant something to you and you thought of something as you were listening to Olga share her story, please share this with a sister who needs some encouragement today. And you can always join my free Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies to help you build the business and the life that you love. Thank you again to my co-host, Brenda Stroud.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. And to our guest today, Olga.
Thank you, Olga.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, till next time. Till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we're your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye. Today.